Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Fuller, and my guest today is Bill Reinhart. And Bill is running for the county legislature, but he's here basically to talk about Proposition 1. So, Bill, let's start with your campaign. How are you today, and how's it going?
Well, I'm fine, although I'm looking forward to the finish line, and I think it's going well. One of the things that does clearly resonate with voters in both Bethlehem and New Scotland, where I'm running, is these issues around the Charter Review Commission and their nonpartisan work, and then the what I call the sham proposal for reform that's on the ballot on Tuesday. And when people understand what's going on, they don't like it. And they do not appreciate that the legislative leadership is sort of pulling a fast one on them with this item on the ballot. And it's,
obviously you don't like it either. So why is that?
Well, it's almost like it's pretending that it's reform, but it's not. It is contrary to the intent of the Charter Review Commission and their fine work, which has been endorsed by the Times Union and the League of Women Voters several times. There's been several good editorials in the newspaper about it, both by the editorial board of the Times Union as well as letters to the editor from the League of Women Voters and others, including all of us in Bethlehem who are running for the county legislature. We all endorse the efforts of the Charter Review Commission, the nonpartisan group that was set up several years ago, and we also all oppose proposal number one, which is a revised charter which takes away rights from voters in terms of issues like the redistricting, determining the size of the legislature. And so this is what you would be voting on next Tuesday is actually a proposed revision to the county charter that would take away some of your rights, and it would consolidate power in the leadership of the legislature, which is quite contrary to what the original Charter Review Commission had proposed in their recommendations, which are on the county website. And I would encourage everybody listening to go to the county website, go to the government, the homepage, and then go to the government tab on the top, press on that, and then you'll see a menu, and one of the menu items there will be the Charter Review Commission. And you should go and look at that, because that does a good job of explaining what their original intent was as a nonpartisan effort to make a more open, transparent, and efficient government. And then what you're seeing on the ballot is something quite different. In fact, you can't even see everything that's being proposed. The language on the ballot doesn't really tell you what's going on. It's very misleading. It's very opaque in terms of trying to understand what you're voting on. And so that's another reason why we suggest you vote it down, and that next year we would like to see, that is when I say we, I mean people running for the legislature across the county, including everyone in Bethlehem running, who feel that we should have more time to discuss the original recommendations of the Charter Review Commission, that those are the things that we should be voting on a year from now in a presidential election year, when there would be more voters coming to the polls. It would be a better measure of what the citizenry really wants, and it wouldn't be this kind of effort to fool the voter into thinking they're voting for reform when in fact they're not. They're voting just the opposite, and it's very misleading what's on the ballot this coming Tuesday.
Now, with Sean Morris becoming the mayor of Cohoes, there's a leadership gap that needs to be filled. From your understanding or observations, who are the parties involved to write this this proposal that's kind of disingenuous?
Who are the parties involved?
Yeah.
Is that your question?
Yes.
Well, I can't really say who all the parties are. I know that one of the legislators, Mike Mackey out in New Scotland, was very much involved in it. I think I've seen a document where his name was on it. But I don't believe that Mike was the only one doing this. You have to recognize that these things go through a committee process, and so there would probably be several people involved. And ultimately, the entire legislature voted on this, and a majority of the legislators approved this proposal to be on the ballot. So it's not like you can just say, it's Mike Mackey or it's Sean Morse. I mean, obviously, the leadership, and including Frank Commisso, the leadership plays a very big role in these kinds of matters, especially in the county legislature. That's one of the complaints of several members of the legislature, is that leadership controls everything too much, and so they can't represent their constituents because they can never get their constituents' interests represented or discussed in the legislature, because leadership has such, because power is so centralized. And that's one of the issues that several of the members of the city delegation and other areas, frankly, beyond Bethlehem, that's one of the issues that they are often speaking about. Now, Charlie Dawson, who is running in Bethlehem for the county legislature, he's an incumbent, and, he's talked about it. The rest of us running out in Bethlehem are not incumbents, so we don't have as much firsthand experience with that issue, but that is an issue, and it's one that, as I said, several Democrats who are arguing for change and reform do cite that as a current issue. Noel Kinch is one who is not running for re-election, but she and I have talked about this. So I guess the answer is that I know Mike Mackey is one of the authors of it, because I've seen his name associated with a document that was put together, the revised charter. But he's not the only one, and probably Sean Morris and Frank Commisso and I'm guessing some of the others who have leadership positions. I know Justin Cochran, who did not run for re-election, was involved with some of it, because I remember hearing his testimony when some of this was being discussed. This, on the evening that they voted down the question of downsizing the charter, I'm sorry, downsizing the legislature, where I testified in favor of the downsizing. Several, including Justin and many others, testified against the downsizing. And at that point, Justin talked about something that was done in Tompkins County, which the League of Women Voters refers to in today's letter to the editor, to the Times Union, where they say, It actually is not the same thing. In the article today, they say it's not the same thing that Tompkins County did, because in Tompkins County, no elected officials were allowed to participate in that that committee that's appointed, whereas the version that you have here in Albany now that you're voting on Tuesday doesn't prohibit that. So you're going to have incumbents deciding their own future, which is exactly how you get gerrymandering. That's the history of gerrymandering, and that's why we have to get away from that model if we want fair elections and we want the opportunity for everybody, and not just incumbents, to run for office. It's a bad part of the history of local politics here in Albany County, and we have, in recent history, we have our gerrymandering of our election districts and our civil rights lawsuits concerning, minority districts and things like this. And we've wasted a lot of money on that. The county has quite a large bill defending these gerrymandering of districts, which has been going on really since 1965 in the passage of the Voting Rights Act.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say that the word is wasted a lot of money or spent a lot of money? Wasted is
I would say both.
A harsh
I mean,
term.
We've spent the money, and I consider it a waste in that we were defending something that, you know, the judge and others have deemed was not right, was not according to law, and it was about incumbents protecting their turf, which is what gerrymandering has historically been about, whether it's been done by Democrats or Republicans. That's, you know, that's the story, and it's unfortunate. Every analyst who looks at this issue, this is the history of incumbents protecting their reelection opportunity, and that's why you have to go to a nonpartisan redistricting group of individuals who will draw the lines fairly and not bias the lines in favor of the incumbents.
See, that was supposed to be done on a statewide level, you know, like 4 years ago or 3 years ago, but Cuomo kicked it down the road. So whether you're talking about local, state, or federal, it's all the same. You know, it's not in the hands of the electorate, but it's in the hands of a chosen few who draw the lines. And unfortunately, in my opinion, people are unaware of what's going on. And I'll give you a good example. For the House of Representatives, the House of Representatives is drawn by the state legislature. So if it's whatever party predominates, if it's the other party who wants to change, a lot of times people don't realize that. They don't realize the correlation between the state legislature drawing the map and the House of Representatives. So in 2008, when there was the state Senate races, I had supported a candidate who I was hoping would win, and that would kind of change the balance of power. And I was asking my friend, I said, Jackie, you know, help my friend, you know, win the election. Oh, no, she goes, I'm going to be working on the presidential race. People don't understand exactly what gerrymandering is and how it's done. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. And one of the ironic things that we see right now is a lot of this gerrymandering that's happening in Albany County. As I tell people when I'm going door to door, I'm embarrassed to say, as a Democrat, that it's being done by Democrats in the county legislature, because they dominate, you know, they control the county legislature.
Right.
So here locally, you have Democrats who are, I will say, guilty of that. Around the country, it's often being done by Republicans, and specifically the House of Representatives, as you were describing a moment ago, there the gerrymandering is done by state legislatures that are controlled by Republicans, and what you have is this interesting phenomena where in several states where Democrats win the general election, meaning like a presidential race or a senatorial race, they lose the seats in the House of Representatives, and it's because of the gerrymandering, where by drawing those lines within the state, you can lump a lot of the minority votes, for example, and the other Democratic votes into one or two districts where they dominate, like 80% of the votes go to the Democrat. And then you have a bunch of other districts, because of the gerrymandering, where the votes are designed to go to the Republicans with somewhat of a slim majority. So when you add up all those votes at the statewide level, the Democrats have more votes, but then when you look at how the lines were drawn and how those votes fall down to the local vote, you know, or the congressional district votes, you now have, like, let's say, you know, 13 Republicans being elected and only 5 or 6 Democrats, even though there were more votes for the Democratic candidates than there were for the Republicans. That's what the gerrymandering does. It biases the outcome of the local elections, despite the fact that if you drew the lines in a more nonpartisan way, the Democrats could actually end up with more seats in the House of Representatives. But the gerrymandering is preventing that. And in that case, it's being implemented by the Republicans at the state legislature level.
Right. Now, when this wording was made up for the proposition, and then it went for a vote, okay, now the majority, like you said, majority of Democrats voted for it. They had to know what they were voting for. They had to know that this particular aspect of politics was taken out of the hands of the people who vote and consolidated the power for a chosen few who are incumbents, want to stay that way. So they wrote the law to ensure that they will continue to stay that way. How do you answer that question? I mean, if they knew what they were doing.
Well, Cynthia, that is a hard question to answer. I can't put myself inside the head of some of those people who may have voted for this sham proposal, as I call it. However, they have now changed their mind and are calling for reform. There are some people in that case, and frankly, I don't know exactly who they are, but I know that that's the case. I've seen some discussion about this, and I guess I can only answer it this way. It's better that you get it right later rather than never. That's part of my answer. The other question, which is a hard one to address, is if they really thought there was no chance for this, for the reform such as the Charter Review Commission, and they were afraid of voting no because of the retribution that might come from leadership, you know, maybe that was a factor. And maybe now they're saying, gee, you know, there seems to be this groundswell of honest desire for reform, and that's really what we wanted all along, so maybe we should come out in favor of that true reform, because now we actually have a chance to win. And, you know, I don't know if that's the thinking that was in the, you know, that some of the individuals, you know, some of the incumbents went through, but it would not surprise me if that's what was going on. If they thought there was no chance for true reform, then, you know, they might have gone along with it because they felt they kind of had no choice. And I'm not trying to excuse that type of thinking, because I don't think personally that's what I would have done. But, you know, I can't really say. I don't know all the specifics of individual cases, et cetera. But I think where we have to look now is, okay, can we do this? Can we actually make this positive change? There seem to be enough people who want to that we can actually accomplish it. But the first step is to vote no on Tuesday for this sham set of revisions, which does not get you any better government, any more transparent, any more efficient. It doesn't do any of those things. All it does is help consolidate power in the legislature, which has been, I believe, part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Now, Mr. Dawson has come out and opposed this also. He's an incumbent. You're running to become a member of the legislature. Has there been any other incumbents besides Mr. Dawson who has come out and been vocal against it, like you have, and Yes.
To recommend a negative vote on Tuesday?
Exactly.
Yes, I know that Chris Higgins has. I believe Brian Plenahan has from Gilderland. I believe that Gary Demelowitz has. And I think there are others, and I apologize because I don't have the complete list in front of me. But I know that Chris Higgins has, there's something on his Facebook page where he talks about this, and that might be where the individuals are listed. I'm not sure. I have actually seen a complete list. But, you know, some of the names that would be on that list are people, as we were just discussing, who may have voted for the proposal that's on the ballot Tuesday. Some of them, not all of them. And those are the ones who, you know, where the accusation is being made, why did you vote for it if now you're saying you're against it? And that's what I was trying to discuss earlier, that I don't know all the reasons, but it's better that they kind of see the light now and come out in favor of true reform as opposed to their misguided vote earlier. And again, I don't know why they, you know, why it would have been done. I don't think I would have done that in my particular case, but I can't, you know, I'm not an incumbent, so I don't know what pressures there might have been on them.
Right.
You know, what the issues might have been that when they made their own personal calculation, why they voted one way or the other. The most important thing now, though, is that we recognize this sham set of proposals for what it is. We vote it down, and then we have a good, open discussion about all of the recommendations of the Charter Review Commission. You know, one example I'd like to say that needs to be discussed, assuming we are successful on Tuesday in voting down this proposal number one, is when I testified in favor of downsizing, I heard some comments by some of the sitting members of the legislature from the minority community that they were concerned about the downsizing and how that would affect the minority districts where, you know, literally days before they had won that court case, I think it was from Judge Kahn, I think it was, or Kaplan, who said, you know, you had to redraw the lines. You had to give the minority community another minority-majority district. And that has become what I think is the sixth ward in the city. So, you know, that was, I mean, that concern resonated with me. I thought, well, you know, that's kind of a legitimate question, is you don't want to go through all this, you know, decades of struggle to get better representation for the minority community where you have been the victim of the gerrymandering that we were talking about before, and now you don't want to just give that up by downsizing. Now, I personally feel that if we had a good open discussion about this, what we could resolve is that we don't have to when we downsize, if that's where the voters want us to go, we don't have to reduce the number of minority districts. Those are kind of two separate issues. They can be handled separately. But that's a question where you need open discussion, and we would have time for that if we were to vote on the Charter Review Commission recommendations a year from Tuesday. That's one of those issues that I think, you know, should be brought to light. We should have an open discussion about it, and we should address it. And there was another concern expressed by one of the female representatives of the legislature that she kind of felt in a similar way that women were now finally making it onto the county legislature, and, you know, that would the downsizing affect the opportunities for women to be elected to the county legislature. Again, I think that's an issue that should be openly discussed. I don't see personally that is a contradiction between downsizing and the ability of women to be elected. I believe that, you know, when I look at Bethlehem, we have several women who are in elective office. in districts which are far larger than any of the election districts would be for the county legislator positions. And, you know, you have people like, look at Colony right now, where you have two women running for, you know, for town supervisor.
Right.
So I don't really see it as a case where those things have to be in conflict. But again, it's the kind of thing where you need open discussion about it. You don't want to just have a brief discussion one evening at the legislature and then people making decisions that way. I think we need to engage more public input into these decisions. And ultimately, as Chris Higgins did say that night, whether you believe in downsizing or not, that is a choice that should be made by the electorate, not by the incumbents. And I agree with that. And so I could envision that a year from now, we could have a situation where I wouldn't necessarily have come down in deciding that everything that's being decided that I'm in favor of, but I would come down in the position that the voters are the ones who should be making those decisions. It's their government, it's their charter.
Absolutely. So, with 4 days left, enjoy the rest of your campaigning. You have a lot more to do.
There's always a lot more to do. Yes. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you know, we're coming to the end of the marathon. It's one of those things that every candidate knows what I'm talking about. You know, people do this because they believe in what they're doing. At least I can say that about myself, and I think it's important enough that I'm putting in the effort to be in a position to make a difference and make some of those changes that I think we need. And two of those, which are key to my campaign, are good government reform, the transparency, all of those things, and the Charter Review Commission recommendations, the original recommendations, are part of that. And then, of course, the other thing is because of my energy and environmental background and my involvement in issues
right.
like the oil tanks and the
right.
and the gas pipelines and the need to get off fossil fuel, I'm not saying, you know, turn off the spigot and don't use any starting next week. That's obviously not possible. But we have to start implementing the programs and the plans and the processes to wean ourselves of our addiction to fossil fuels. The planet will not survive. Actually, the planet will survive. We may not, if we don't address climate change in a more serious and fundamental way. And what I find so frustrating is there are ways to do it, but we have to have the political will to do it. And right now, that's a big problem at the national level because the fossil industry has so much influence in Washington, unlike other capitals like in Germany, where they're moving it very fast, and Iceland and some other places where the fossil industry doesn't have the same political influence. But at the local level, it's a little different story. I've been very successful in what I've tried to accomplish, along with others, in the town of Bethlehem. And I think now we can start to say, let's do this more aggressively at the county level. Let's engage towns throughout the county in doing some of the same things we've done in Bethlehem. And likewise, I'm going to learn about some things that other people have done, other places have done, which can also be done in Bethlehem. So it's, you know, it's a two-way street, but it takes commitment and talk. And I'm very excited about the Solarize Albany stuff we've been doing, the nonprofit group. We've had quite a successful campaign. And the same sort of thing is happening across the state. And we're really seeing, some positive change. But we have to keep going. There's a lot of work to do.
Well, good luck on day, and just think one day you could just kind of lay back and rest all day. So,
well,
maybe.
Actually, you know, I can't even remember exactly what it is, but I know there's something else going on the Wednesday after the election that I'm going to be at. It's some kind of an event, and I think it has to do with energy stuff, but it might also have to do with with agriculture because I'm a big fan of revitalizing local agriculture. It's all part of the sustainability thrust that is kind of central to my whole involvement in the political world is I see that we have to do this, and I see that there's a very green, positive future if we actually make the right decisions and go in the right direction. There are solutions. There's new technology that can help. There's a changing way of looking at things that can help. So I'm very optimistic that we can make that progress. But yes, after Tuesday, I am definitely going to get some rest.
Well, good luck. Have a good weekend. Good luck on Tuesday. You've been listening to Bill Reinhart, who is running for the county legislature. What district are you running in? What
number? Legislative District 33. So it's a little bit more than half of it is in Slingerlands and Delmar, in the town of Bethlehem, and a little bit less than half is in basically it's Voorheesville and a little bit of the rural areas around Voorheesville. It's a wonderful area, actually.
You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download on your smartphone. Listen anywhere, anytime. Good luck, Bill, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
All righty. Thank you.